Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Cloud Sense. I'm your host, Jack Arugian, and I've got a special show for you today. You know, we talk about the cloud quite a bit, but we don't talk about any oversight, you know, quite frankly, because it's an unregulated environment, and there's a reason for that. You know, if you think about it, every other industry out there, say the insurance industry or banking, for example, has serious regulatory oversight. Why is that? Well, because you've got a fiduciary responsibility, but for some reason, you don't see that in technology. And one of the reasons is, and this is about as blunt and honest and an explanation as you're going to get, because those that regulate don't understand it. Okay, remember, technology, by definition, has got a creative obsolescence that's built into it. So it's constantly changing. It's dynamic. And because of that, what you end up with is a situation where it's very difficult to get serious oversight because things are constantly changing. So what you can really get, if nothing else, is guidance. And that's really what we have today. In fact, I've got a great guest for you. I've got Carl Scott coming on. He's actually a consultant. He's with Satori Consulting. But what I really want to talk to him about more than anything else is the work that he's been doing with the Cloud Standards Customer Council, all right, the CSCC. And what they have is basically it's been taken over by what they call the OMG group, and that's the Object Management Group, which is an international open membership, not-for-profit technology standards consortium. All right, think about that for a second. That's kind of what you need. You need the industry leaders to get together and set certain standards, certain protocols that everybody can use. Quite frankly, you end up with a very fragmented marketplace and fragmented technology, because eventually something wins out and gets layered in to the winning solution. And you don't have to look any far. For those of you that are old enough, remember the battle between Betamax and VHS. Betamax was actually better technology, believe it or not. You know, the Japanese Sony came out with it. It was top of the line, but VHS ended up winning that battle. And for years and years, it was the dominating technology, and Betamax went by of the way of Laserdisc and all the rest of those. All the way old timers used to watch movies on either tape or whatever the case was. But more importantly, and for the object of this discussion, remember, this is a group, guys, that actually publishes a vendor-neutral guidance for people to use, especially for institutions that are looking to be mobile and flexible. All right, we're going to take a couple of minutes, come back. I got Carl Scott coming on. He's going to talk all about it.
Are you in the market for cloud but wondering where to start or how to get the best value? Looking for help figuring out what you need without telling the same story to 10 different people? UCX is the cloud pricing and procurement marketplace. We quickly and easily help you identify exactly what you need, whether it's custom private cloud, bare metal, or VMs. We put your spec on our platform, where CSPs openly compete to deliver the best price, fit, and term. Save time, money, and find your cloud your way. UCX, cloud buying made easy.
And welcome back, everybody. As promised, I have got Carl Scott on from Satori Consulting to talk to us a little bit about, you know, oversight and guidance when it comes to cloud adoption, which is probably one of the biggest things. And Carl, it's great to have you on Cloud Sense. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you know what? Let's get right into it. You know what? Why don't you tell us a little bit about what Satori Consulting is? Because I'd be a bad host if I didn't let you do that. And then let's jump right into your work with the Cloud Standards Consumer Council, the CSCC, and of course the fact that now they're part of the OMG, which is the Object Management Group, which is, by the way, folks, an international open membership. It's a not-for-profit technology standards consortium. You heard me talking about it before, but Carl, you know, let's start off. Tell us a little bit what you're doing with Satori, and then let's jump right into it.
Sure. Satori is a consulting company based out of New York. You know, what we really focus on is helping customers solve difficult problems. We do a lot of project management, and also, too, we do a lot in terms of cloud work, in terms of cloud migration, helping organizations understand cloud and better leverage it, and also, too, you know, from a practical standpoint, making sure that the appropriate cloud security controls are in place to protect those workloads, if you will.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I said before you came on is that, you know, the technology is a lot different than other industries in that there's this creative obsolescence that's built into it, and it's so dynamic that people that need to regulate can't keep up in many cases. So you almost have to be self-regulating, and there's got to be a consortium of people that know the industry, that understand the industry, that set standards for the industry. And, you know, I think in many cases, that seems to be what you know, the OMG group is really all about. Or am I just reading it wrong?
No, that's exactly right. And what you know, the really critical thing is to sort of help give that the organization's guidance in terms of, you know, what cloud is all about. And to your point, you know, what are sort of like the standards to really sort of focus on to make sure that you have like a, you know, consistent delivery, so you can actually take advantage and sort of get that flexibility and agility that organizations are looking for.
So you're talking, you're preaching to the choir when you do that, Carl. I want you to know that. Hey, so let's get right into it. I was reading your notes and I realized that there are really, you know, four major pain points when you think about it for cloud adoption. At least that's what you're looking at. And you know, I want to go through each one of those pain points. You've got architecture, security, migration, and management of services. And let's talk a little bit about each one of those and how, you know, you found and you've seen the difficulties of adoption in each case. Let's start with architecture. I mean, and for somebody who's a bit of a novice, are we talking about people that are on-prem, or are we talking about people that are you know, completely a blank blackboard, as it will?
Sure. And actually it's more of a combination of the two, because, you know, most of the customers and most of the challenges that we see is organizations that's you know, currently on-prem, if you will, and they're looking to modernize their environment and be able to sort of take a look or take advantage of cloud computing services to increase their, you know, flexibility and agility.
Do you recommend people to stay on prem, or I mean, with critical? I'm just more curious. Only from 30,000 feet down, is that still something that is recommended for certain critical assets?
Well, it really really depends, because there's a lot of dependencies in terms of, you know, going to the cloud and in terms of the network connectivity, if you will. And also, too, in terms of ability to secure those workloads, all that's doable. But, you know, the organization has to have that talent and also to, you know, the other resources to really make that happen. If they do have the talent and they can actually make that, you know, migration and sort of do that in a way that is not going to disrupt the business, most certainly. But if they are sort of struggling with that, you know, we help in terms of helping them stay on-prem for a period of time until they can actually make that change, if you will.
Do you also, when you're talking about architecture, make sure that when people are doing this, that they stay flexible, that they're not stuck, as it will, you know, as it were, on one cloud, on one CSP? You know, I hate, and this is the biggest problem that I have with the industry, is that, you know, coming from the financial world, you know, having all our eggs in one basket is ridiculous. You know what? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all about being diversified properly. You know, you could be diversified in a wrong way, you know, something Warren Buffett would call diversification. But, you know, but being diversified, I think, with your assets, or, you know, just making sure that it's right. But that doesn't seem to be the case in technology. But I would think that if you're creating the architecture and you're consulting on it, I would think that you're making sure that people are not stuck. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yeah, and that's a great point, because from a cloud perspective, you want to be able to take advantage of the different CSP or cloud service providers that's out there, be it an Amazon or be it a Google, be it a Azure. You want to be able to sort of take advantage of those services. And most organizations today are not as focused in terms of addressing that lock-in. So they may consume, like, say, for example, in terms of an AWS, consume those Lambda services, which actually, locks you in a little bit more in terms of AWS, which is fine. But as they sort of look to move those event-driven workloads to, like, another provider, then they sort of realize that it's not as easy in terms of pulling that apart and sort of bringing it over to like a Google or an Azure.
I know it should be an easy thing to do. It should be just turning on a light. I don't care where my electricity comes from.
Right, exactly. And that's a great point. And those are the things that we, help to inform the customer in terms of, based on the services that you're consuming, it is going to decrease your ability to move from one cloud service provider to the other. And as long as the customer is informed, if they understand that and sort of making a conscious choice, then that's what, that's our job is to sort of bring those things to light to make sure that there's that awareness.
Okay, let's get to the second pain point, security. It's the thing that everybody seems to worry about. I know that when I was on the board of directors of the CME Group, even when it was in its infancy, the biggest problem that we would have is people hacking into the matching engine. So security means everything. What do you tell people that are afraid of moving either to the public cloud or to basically putting anything on the cloud at all?
Well, and from that perspective, I mean, the cloud, and it's sort of like a myth that the cloud is not secure because, when you take a look at the cloud providers that's there, especially the larger ones, they do a great job in terms of, providing those security controls for what they're responsible for. One thing that customers miss as well too is that, really understanding what is their area of responsibility when it comes to security in the cloud, because it's different as you take a look at infrastructure as a service versus platform as a service versus software as a service. So really understanding exactly where your responsibility stops or starts and stops. So say for example, in infrastructure as a service, the customer responsibility starts with the operating system in terms of being able to secure that on up to the application stack, if you will.
How about platform as a service? Where would you tell somebody that that they've got to be concerned, or where is their security issues at that point?
Well, the security issue in terms of from a customer's perspective at that point is really at the software code in the application layer because they're actually deploying that software code on that platform. Now, I do want to be clear here because, as customers leverage cloud services, it doesn't absolve them in terms of their accountability for security. So say, for example, if there's a breach, they're still accountable. What they need to do is to make sure that they understand exactly what that cloud service provider is doing to make sure that they have the right controls in place in terms of encryption, in terms of, logging, monitoring, et cetera, going down all down the line. And also too, making sure that they have their responsibilities met, from their perspective as well, and being able to combine that and make sure that the risk is managed overall based on the types of workloads and the types of data that they have in that cloud.
Again, preaching to the choir. You know what? Having an industry where you know what? Somebody opened up a cat video, and because of that, we had to revamp our entire system. I got it.
Right.
Let's go to the next one. Our next pain point, it seems to be migration. So let's talk about migration a little bit, and where exactly you're finding struggles with those that are trying to migrate, and where the real problems are in migration.
Well, in a couple of areas. One struggle a lot of times is that customers really understanding, okay, where do I want to place this workload? And what I mean by that is that, there's many options in terms of, cloud delivery technologies. There's, bare metal, there's virtual machines, there's containers, there's serverless. How do I actually deploy this workload to the cloud? And also too, based on my application, what am I going to get in terms of the benefits, in terms of, performance, et cetera? So what should I expect there? The other area is just really in terms of getting that data, if it's as it's on premise, out to the cloud. And there's also, of course, there's ways in terms of getting around that. If there's like a large data set, I mean, there's ways to actually send that data to that cloud service provider as sort of like an initial seed. And then, once that initial seed is done, is to sort of make up the delta in terms of like the network, network updates, if you will. But, those are the things that we typically see. The other, challenges is that as you sort of get that workload, as you're working to migrate that to the cloud, how do I sort of implement those operational processes to make sure that I can actually effectively manage that going forward? And how am I going to be comfortable that I can actually maintain those SLAs that I expect from my customer?
How do you make it seamless, Carl? You know what I mean? Especially with people that if they don't want to, they can't have any downtime. Do you run things redundantly? Is that the way it is until you're comfortable moving them over?
Yeah, sure. In terms of the the migration, the preferred approach is to continue to sort of run the on-premise if it's that workload was originally on-premise, to continue to work, run that in parallel with the, you know, a cloud instance or the cloud environment for a period of time. And then once you're comfortable that that cloud instance, the integrity is there and there's no issues in terms of performance, et cetera, now you can actually turn off that on-premise instance and you're totally relying on that cloud instance, if you will.
Let's get to the last one, only because I want to also ask you a little bit about the OMG group. But the last pain point that you wrote about was you know, managed services, and we've all been dealing with MSPs, you know, all along the way, and there seem to be thousands, tens of thousands. But try to make some sense of this for us, if you don't mind, please. It seems like that is a pain point because that seems to be where there's a huge, you know, amount of, you know, an oversupply, I guess, if you would, of services. But tell me exactly in your eyes, in your mind's eye, where exactly the problems lie for those that are trying to, you know, that are trying to take cloud adoption down and trying to figure out what services they need.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the challenge really comes in terms of, you know, the organizations are sort of stepping back and taking like a full view in terms of what's needed to manage that workload as it sits in the cloud. Because you still, as you migrate it to the cloud, you still have to do the, you know, the monitoring to make sure that that workload is available. You still have to make sure that, you know, security is applied. You still have to make sure that that disaster recovery is in place. You know, all those things still apply. So from that perspective, you know, either being able to leverage, you know, tools that's available in the cloud or leveraging the managed services provider, you know, are the options that they have. Now, the challenge with managed services providers is that, you know, as you said, that there's so many of them, you know, and then also, too, sometimes it's a little bit difficult to understand exactly what you're getting out of that provider in the way of what's included in the service and also, too, the service levels that's associated with it. But, you know, customers have to sort of sort through that and approach it in the same way in terms of the expectations. And again, going back to the SLAs that they had when that workload was on premise. So those things don't change. It's really, you know, how you go about doing it in terms of the types of tools that you use to do it. You know, those things have changed. You know, what we, you know, really focus on a lot from a cloud perspective is really around automation, because when you take a look at cloud, cloud is just one of the tools in the tool bag. But if you don't apply like the right tools around it in terms of the automation tools to actually more efficiently, you know, deploy those images and also to more efficiently sort of perform those updates, you're not going to get the benefit in terms of the flexibility and agility to the organization.
No, those are wise words. Go ahead. I want to keep going.
Yeah, and I was just going to mention as well, too, because, you know, the other key is really around the operational efficiency in terms of, you know, modifying those operational processes, such as like change management. Because if you don't look at those operational processes, such as change management, again, you're not going to get that, you know, advantage from cloud services, because you're still going to be operating in terms of, you know, those long lead times for changes, and you're not going to be able to, again, sort of, you know, really leverage that agility and flexibility that you're looking for those cloud services.
You know, folks, I got to tell you something. You know, usually when you're talking to consultants, sometimes, you know, you always have to make sure that they know what they're talking about. Here's a consultant that knows what he's talking about. I love it. All right. And I'm going to give you that, because you know what? There are a lot of people, you know, you and I have met them. That call themselves consultants, and basically they're people that don't know what to do with themselves, you know. And then now and then you come across somebody that boy, you don't mind paying that big money for, and you're one of those people. Hey, tell me a little bit about the OMG group and what you're doing with them before I lose you here, because I think that it's you know, it's so very important, because, you know, for me, you know, getting smart people like you together and to tell people like me what the standards are so very important. All right. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, and actually the OMG, the cloud working group that we're working with, actually that sort of spun out of the Cloud Standards Customer Council. And, you know, that group is really sort of focused on providing that guidance to organizations. So what we do a lot is to write practical guides around things, you know, such as, you know, cloud management platforms in terms of how to manage that complexity for hybrid cloud computing. Also, too, as you're sort of mentioning in terms of the cloud migration, writing those practical guides that really give specific guidance in terms of, as you're looking to move workloads from on-premise to the cloud, what are the key things that you need to consider, and how do you need to make sure that you have like the effective plan in place that you're not going to be disruptive to your business. Also, too, sort of going from the cloud security perspective, in terms of sort of going down the list in terms of those controls that you need to consider modification as you take a look at workloads in the cloud. A perfect example is really around, investigation and forensics, because that's totally different in the cloud, as you, would expect, because you don't have control over all those assets. So, those practical guides helps to provide insights into those areas. And then also, too, as you were saying before, call out the standards that's really applicable for organizations to make sure that, say, for example, in terms of, access management, in terms of, API development, API security, what are those standards that's really applicable that, organizations should be looking to make sure that they're developing the right software, the right tools, the right processes to make sure that they're effective and efficient going forward.
Good work indeed, sir. I got to tell you, and if anybody out there listening, and if you are in charge of the IT department, or if you're in charge of actually migration, these are the people you should be talking to, all right? Because they are the ones that are setting the rules and layering themselves into SB. And I'm going to say this, it's almost like being a pseudo regulator in some cases, only because you can't have regulators in your industry. How about that, Carl? You like that? I made you a pseudo regulator. Hey, listen, that's all we got time for. Carl, I want you to promise to come back and talk a little bit more about this, please.
I would love to.
I love it. Carl Scott, folks, he again is with Satori Consulting, and we're talking to probably the most important things about, cloud adoption, the four pain points we just went over. You've been listening to Cloud Sense. My name is Jack Barugian. I'll be talking to you soon.